You're listening to The Training Dummies. With Rob.
You may cease your yammering at any time. Now, for example.
And Daryl.
No, you don't need to stay a while and listen. You must have me confused with someone else.
Greetings and welcome to episode 136 of The Training Dummies, recorded for you on August 17th, 2016. My name is Rob, and I have been playing Warcraft like I have discovered this game for the first time. And oh my god, I cannot get enough of it because this is freaking amazing and I love it. And yeah, with me tonight, seriously man, I'm like a kid, like, oh, what is this thing? I've never, oh, this is groundbreaking, oh my god.
Yeah, I love it. It's we're back in.
Daryl, how you been?
I've been good. I'm excited. We have Legion coming in less than 2 weeks. I get new internet tomorrow, hopefully, as long as there's not too many trees in the way. So it's exciting. It's an exciting time.
That's good. I'm glad because I know a lot of times the only difficulties we have are with your internet. So
yeah,
that would be a good thing. Well, in the vein of Legion and in all this stuff that we've got going on, one of the things that's been a huge topic and a huge, everyone's kind of excited about, not really sure about, is going to really define a lot of classes and specs and experiences are artifact weapons. So tonight, with all the new stuff coming up, we thought we should probably, before it goes live, we should probably grab somebody who knows way more about artifacts than we do. And who better to explain that than Miss Bell, all the way over from Pwncast. Let's give it up. Training Dummies, warm welcome. Thank you, Bell.
That clap was amazing. I feel I feel like you guys really put your heart and soul into that clap. So thank you. I'm super stoked to be here, and I'm really excited to talk about the artifact weapons. So...
before we started, you said you had put in many hours kind of researching it and figuring it out, and I had put in many hours just, like, not really paying attention and probably doing things the wrong way. And one thing I did learn, though, is that I don't want to do it the wrong way, so I'm really glad you're kind of here to help maybe set the record straight before we,
into it. I think I got one artifact on one character in beta, and that's when I stopped playing beta. So yeah. We've got all three levels of experience here with them, so we're good. Good to go.
Well, before we get into all that, Bell, I'm sure that there's maybe like one or two people out there in the universe who don't know who you are, and that's kind of awkward, so we'd like to fix that. So maybe we'll get to know you a little bit. How, what, when did you start playing, and what is your current main?
Let's see. I started playing at the very end of Burning Crusade, and my main has always been Destruction Warlock. She survived a lot over the time because, you know, destruction is one of those things where when Blizzard doesn't like you, destruction gets a nerf. And then when Blizzard loves you, destruction's amazing. So, yeah, I've suffered as a Destruction Warlock a really long time. I've suffered.
Daryl knows.
Yes.
Yeah, it's all that time. I mean, it's a good time. In Legion, we're going to see amazing things for destruction. There's some changes I wish didn't happen, but... The Havoc changes were just... They're going to get nerfed because it's overpowered, I'm sure.
I love the Havoc change. Oh, my goodness. So the talent. Oh, with the talent?
Yeah.
Holy cow.
It's endless chaos bolts for days if you're managing your soul shards. It's just literally
amazing.
Death.
Amazing. Yeah, it's good times. What is the origin of the name Bell?
So funny, my original name was Belisang. And it's actually two words put together from a series of books that I used to read. And... It's always been my name for everything online. Well, when we started doing the show, people would come to the server and they would try to message Bell because that's what everybody just shortened it to because, you know, Bell, we're lazy gamers, right? It's easier to say Bell than Belisang. And people would look for Bell and I would get emails and say, hey, I tried to find you on your server. You don't exist. And I'm like, yeah, I totally don't exist because that's not my name. So I ended up changing it for that purpose because... It needed to be done. And I got lucky. I got it without an alt code with one of their name releases when they released all the names.
Nice.
Yeah. But it's definitely not because I'm a princess and I don't like vampires in that sense. So that's definitely not the origin of where the name came from.
There is nothing wrong with being a princess. In fact, I believe my wife would say that Belle is like the number
one. She's the best princess. Best. Yes, I agree with your wife. She is the best. But people are always like, oh, are you into Disney princesses? And I'm like, well, I mean, I don't dress like them, if that's what you mean. But that is not where the name came from. I don't have a secret Disney princess fetish where I dress in drag.
I don't have that level of fetish, but I certainly do have one. I'm all about the Disney princesses. Love it.
You're all about the ball gowns, huh?
Yeah, Disney life, man. That's what. This is gonna get awkward. What is your most fond memory in or because of Warcraft, not Disney?
Ooh, let's see. Fond memory would probably be 2 years ago for my birthday. My guild on Argent Dawn, which were the writers of Rohan. I know, Cure the Nude music. So I was really depressed because I live online. I don't really have a lot of like real life friends because I have kids and husbands and dogs and podcasts and nerd things. So most of my friends are over the internet. So I was really depressed on my birthday because we can't really throw like a huge party and really celebrate getting old because that's just not a possibility. Well, my guild and my officers orchestrated a giant party. It was like a surprise party in game, and we did like a Drake parade in Stormwind, and everybody on the server got involved. And I'm sure there's video floating around somewhere, but I cried like a big baby.
Oh,
yeah,
that's awesome.
That's awesome. Yeah, for sure.
I cried.
What is your favorite Blizzard title? If it's not obvious already,
you mean like there's several titles. So do you mean like game title, in-game title?
Yes, ooh. Game title. What's your favorite Blizzard game?
My physical, okay, I just want to make sure because I have a favorite in-game title too. So okay. Obviously that's Black Harvest because I'm a warlock.
No one has ever asked
that. Yeah.
I'm the only one. So that either means I'm really smart or a little slow.
No, I think people like are so entrenched in like the fact that like Blizzard isn't just WoW anymore that like they don't even realize that.
So obviously World of Warcraft is my favorite Blizzard game. Runner up would probably have to be Hearthstone just because super effective toilet time, with Hearthstone being mobile.
You know, I was a big fan of yours with the Destruction Warlocks, but I must admit your points are dropping slowly.
No way.
I'm not an Overwatch fan because Belle can't FPS. It is a bad time. Literally, it's embarrassing. It's a bad time. I get booed out of games. It's awful.
Yeah, it sounds it's like awful. Me playing too.
I just don't know how to do anything.
So how about your favorite in-game character title?
That would definitely be of the Black Harvest because it took me 47 wipes pre-new content when it was really difficult to get for the Greenfire, the Warlock Greenfire quest.
Yeah. So you did it. Did you do it when it was super current or did you go back?
I did it when it was super current and I literally thought I was going to set fire to my computer. It was so awful.
Yeah. That
and then
was
once
rough.
I did it, I was like, that was easy.
Yeah. I started the quest on mine, but I got to the part where you have to use that eyeball to see through like where you're supposed to walk and
That was like, a game changer then, yeah.
Forget it. I'm out of it.
Too much work. Yeah, I had to get it. My brother, he rolled a warlock and was trying to get it before me. And I was like, there's no way I can have this casual who doesn't know anything about destruction like try to come awesome. On here and get this title. So
yeah.
He gave me a little bit of motivation. And then 47 wipes later, I was victorious.
Well, I respect that.
Yeah, I got it before the expansion ended, but I was way overgeared for it. It's still, I had a lot of problems with it, so... So
yeah,
I applaud you
nerfed,
for doing
they
it when it's current.
Your gear.
Yeah.
So you could be a million item level, which if that even exists, I'm just going to say a million because girls are dramatic. And they would, I think they had it set to you. It was kind of similar to the Proving Grounds.
Oh, did they?
Or no matter
I didn't
how
even
big
know that.
Item,
I thought
yeah.
I just overgeared
it. Oh, so
it
kind of scaled too.
Yeah, it scaled. It didn't scale a lot, but it did scale. So you weren't going in there full shebang.
Okay.
Oh. So feel good. You did
all
a good
right. Thing.
You know, I didn't realize that about the Proving Grounds until recently. I was like, I went in there not too long ago on Blood DK, and I was like, oh, crap, I can't tank. I better go do Proving Grounds. And I was like, holy cow, I cannot do this. What is wrong? And then lo and behold, buddy of mine, well, yeah, didn't you know it scales to, you know, put on some bad gear and go in there and it's really easy.
How funny.
There you go.
What is your favorite raid boss of all time?
Ooh, this is tough because Belle's bad at raids. I don't know why, because Belle gets impaled and she stands in the fire and she doesn't like to do any raid mechanics except sit there and talk the whole time during raid and get yelled at by my raid leader. But if I had to pick, I would probably say forever of all time would probably be Tectus, because when you kill him, his saying is my favorite. Do you guys know what I'm talking
about? You guys,
something mountain, right?
Yeah, he says it in like this voice where he's like, even the mountains fall. That was my best impression. That's the best you're going to get out of me. But I just, for some reason, I really like the way he says it. And because the crystalline barrage was the source of me screaming at guildies for not taking it in the proper direction. And it's just a super memorable boss. Yeah. And I didn't do a lot of raid content prior. I think I did raids in Mists of Pandaria, but I didn't do much before then.
All right.
You've been then historically more of a PvP geared company.
Yeah. I am in the PvP life 150%. Yeah. I try to balance pretty good because the guild requires me to do that, because sometimes you need the guild master to go in and yell when they're not listening to the raid lead, but I would prefer to just PvP all the time.
Wow. That doesn't even register.
And I do it as a destruction warlock, which is relatively unheard of. Mists of Pandaria was, of course, the glory days of destruction, where you've seen them everywhere, and then Holinka decided that Affliction was going to be the boss. And I refuse to change, so I'm just like, fine. Yeah. I'll be mediocre.
I have no idea even how to play the other specs. I've never learned. I tried them once after we had Amy Jade on the show, and that lasted all 30 seconds. Like, screw this, I'm going back to destruction.
The new demonology is really super fun to play, and you're probably going to see that a lot in a lot of areas. And I enjoyed the gameplay, but honestly, nothing can replace my Chaos Bolt. I can kill a DK in a fear and two Chaos Bolts, and I can kill a DK. Easy.
Nice.
Well, I'm not going to say easy, but some DKs are really, really good at mitigating. But I just don't care for the playstyle. I don't like dot classes.
Mm-hmm.
I just like shooting people in the face with Chaos Bolts and... all that good stuff. Because Chaos Bolt, they can see it coming and they know it's on the way and there's nothing they can do to stop it.
Do you remember in beta for a little while where you fired off a Chaos Bolt? It like put that little thing over your head and it was like the little tiny Lego thing that just bounced over your head. It looked like a mini Chaos Bolt.
Yes, that was a little like awkward, and then the Chaos Bolt would like stare at you before it would hit the target. It would just like it would pop up and be like, okay, I'm gonna go kill this guy right now, and just like try to have a conversation with you. It was really creepy. I took to the forums and was like, I'm gonna need you guys to take this out, because
seriously,
that's awful.
All right.
And the baby Chaos, that was just bad parenting.
What has you the most hyped about Legion?
You know, in truth, I think we suffered a lot in Warlords of Draenor, and I didn't suffer. I enjoyed Warlords of Draenor, but I think we suffered a lot as a community, and I think Blizzard went through a lot of growing pains. There might have been pandering to the wrong people, and I think they found that those are the people that unsubbed and didn't really stay true like us, like we do. So I'm excited, because I feel like this is the apology expansion, where they say, we're sorry for the mistakes that we made and we took a wrong turn and forgot what we were doing. Now here's a ton of stuff that you're going to love and be happy with. And I guess I would say the community coming back in that regard.
I like that answer.
I know that was super deep, right?
No, well, okay. So, I mean, I'm not totally with you on the Warlords thing. I liked a lot of it. I had a lot of fun. I made my own fun. I think that's just what you need to do sometimes. But by and large, I think that it just went on for way too long, and it just needed to be over.
So much of the community was angry about so many things, and then they unsubbed. And I feel like Blizzard was trying to give everybody all the things at once. They made so much stuff easier because they were pandering to the we live in a generation of the younger crowd where it's instant gratification. We don't know how to work for things. So I think in their quest to try to make everybody happy, they kind of lost sense of what World of Warcraft was about. I enjoyed Warlords of Draenor personally. I didn't really have a whole lot of issues, but I think the community as a whole had a lot of issues. So I'm excited for so many people are so excited about Legion that it's nice. I'm seeing old friends come logging in and they're resubbing. It's kind of just bringing all the boys back to the yard, I guess, would be the only, it's the only way to describe.
Well, on the, you know what, we usually ask about where people are on the Overwatch hype train, but I think you kind of made that clear earlier.
I ranted last month about it in, I Zoom call with all my friends instead of Skype because I like Zoom better. And when they get on and Zoom and they're gaming, they're screaming at each other, right? Because that's what you do. You scream at each other when you're playing Overwatch. I literally was like, I am banning Overwatch from the Zoom. If you're playing Overwatch, you are not allowed in here because I am tired of hearing you guys scream at each other. And I don't want to hear Kill the Zenyatta one more time. So I literally was on like, I've been a tirade for like a week where I'm like, I don't want to see a meme. I don't want to see a post. I don't want you to ask me if I want to Overwatch. Let's just not give me a break. And then the hype is died down a little bit among my friends, so they still play it, but it's not as like, you know how stuff comes when it's brand new, everybody's Pokemon going.
Oh geez, yeah. I feel like the hype has definitely died down. I mean, I love the universe, I love it for what it is, but yeah.
For sure. I like that people are stoked about it, and I like that Blizzard's putting out good things, and I obviously, because the PDQ is now all the games, I have to essentially like it and know everything about it whether I want to or not. And it is fun to play, but it's not my type of play style.
I agree. Well, I agree with you about the, you know, the being able to get in quickly and just have fun. Daryl, any bonus questions?
I do not have any bonus questions this evening. Do you?
No, because I'm super hyped to talk about back, so.
Alrighty.
This is Supercat from Ask Mr. Robot, and if you have a problem, yo, I'll solve it. While you're listening to The Training Dummies with Rob and Daryl.
If you have any questions or comments or just want to find out what we're doing, we're active on Twitter, and that's at Training Dummies. Rob is at Rob Copeland, and myself, Daryl, is at Hend_TTD. So we're discussing artifacts, and as I'd mentioned earlier, I did the artifact quest on my Warlock, but that's about as far as I got because the beta, when Destruction first got put in, beta was really, really buggy. Like, it was the phasing issues. I don't know if you remember that.
Oh, yeah.
So where I'd attack something and it would phase away before I finished casting my Chaos Bolt, and then it would phase back, but then I had to start casting it and it would phase away. So anyway, I think that was like the last day I went into beta. So I know next to nothing about artifacts other than there's some big cool weapon that everybody gets that is specific to your spec. So that is why I wanted to do a artifact episode, because it's very self-serving so that I know what to do with my artifact once Legion starts. And so, yeah, that's why we're doing this. And where is the best place to start? Where should we start with this?
So honestly, the best place is just to give a little background on what its purpose is. And if you'd like, I can get started. I didn't know if you wanted to.
No, you know what? We're going to let you drive the bus, and we're just going to...
The men are going to let the woman drive, huh?
Absolutely, yeah. Yep, you can drive the bus, and we will just interrupt. So.
Interesting, cool.
Much like being a mother.
Valid. 100%, my husband will agree with you there as well. So for the artifact weapons, there's a couple things that is going to be really important for people to remember. There's not going to be any weapon drops in Legion. So there's no weapon drops for any of the Legion content. Your artifact weapon, that's going to be it. You will not have to do anything special to try to go and find it. The quest will find you naturally. It's part of the opener quest when you hit Legion. It's most of the classes are tied to their order hall. So you'll do the order hall quest while you're doing the artifact weapon quest. So it's important to know that with it being your only weapon, you will be able to transmog it. So you can transmog off of it if you don't specifically like your weapons looks. Not all of them people are going to like, so that's totally fine. You will only have that weapon for that spec. So initially, you'll just have your one spec you'll be able to use. If you use a second spec, such as heals or tanks, you're going to go without that artifact weapon until you acquire it. So the cool thing about that is there is a catch-up mechanic. So once you've gotten it on your main spec, we'll just use Destruction as an example because, you know, it's the god of the universe in the World of Warcraft world. once you have it on Destruction, in the process of your order haul and the quest that you'll get there, you'll get a quest to acquire a second weapon if you choose. The really cool thing that Blizzard did here is acknowledging the fact that you've already gotten the weapon on one spec, so the catch-up mechanics for the second spec are going to be easier. So it'll be easier for you to be able to acquire your artifact power, which we'll talk about that in a second. It'll be easier for you to get your relics, also talk about that in a second. So it's not going to be as grinding as people think. Mm-hmm. For the secondary one, it's not going to be that terrible. Your main one, though, that's really where you're going to want to put in all your power anyway. And I think most of us focus on one spec anyway in the very beginning. So I don't think it's anything outside of our comfort zone of what we're used to when a new expansion happens. So it shouldn't be too difficult. It's also important to know that this will be the weapon you also use for PvP. With the new PvP templates that they have in place for instances, that weapon, everything's automatically going to scale to PvP stats. So you're not going to have a second weapon for PvP. That's going to be your main weapon. Pretty much anything you're doing is going to be the artifact weapon. Any questions on that little
part? To simplify it, basically artifacts then are like heirloom weapons on crack.
Pretty much. They're like an upgraded beefed, probably on crack version, actually. Maybe they had like 5 rock stars and they're good to go.
You will not be getting any other weapons this expansion. I am hyped for that alone because I had lots of issues through Warlords trying to get weapons on. Yeah, that was a good time. But
eliminating the weapon drop is just awesome in general, especially when it comes to raiding. You take that one element out, which most of your raiders, their number one thing they're grinding for is their weapon, because that's essentially the main source of power anyway. So, and I wanted to make sure that I disclaim here, with the new changes that were live in pre-patch, I know some classes feel a little bit underpowered. It's important to note that the way that they've done the stats, it's based off the weapon. Mm-hmm. So people are not going to really be able to feel what the changes were made until they've acquired their artifact weapon. So what you're seeing now, if you're kind of frustrated with the gameplay of what's happening with your spec, just remember that this is with the intention of the artifact weapon. So unfortunately, you're going to feel a little less powerful now. However, once you get your weapon, you're going to really start to feel what your spec can do, because then it's with its full power.
Well, there's a few things to consider there. Like, not only is it like that you need your artifact weapon, but the fact that we're still in raid and dungeon content that wasn't designed for the way that these classes are playing at all right now.
Yep.
And the fact that you're also going to have to level up your artifact and go through the entire skill tree there, like you're really not gonna know the full potential of any class or spec until way into the expansion. I think
they said they wanted it to be at least 3 months before the first weapon was maxed out. Now obviously you're gonna have your people that'll have that maxed out in 20 hours, because that's just how some of them are. But the idea behind it in several of their Q&As is they really want this to be something you have to work hard for in order to unlock its full potential. So, and there's 37, which we'll talk about the traits in a second, but there's a lot of traits and things that you're going to be adding to it. So yeah, there's a lot of work you're going to put into it. And I mean, people say they're bored after having to do all this work. I'm going to really be surprised.
I have spent a little bit of time in beta, kind of just feeling my way through it, and I never once got the impression that I was going to get boring.
Right.
There is some very cleverly, reskinned dailies, and, you know, kind of the way that they're doing things are just a fresh new take. But, you know, the bottom line is, if you enjoy playing Warcraft and if you like, the way that MMOs work, then you'll be fine. It's going to be awesome.
Yep. So moving on, let's talk about some of the things that's going to be important. With your artifact weapon, you're going to want to pre-plan a lot of your things. And the way that you pre-plan is going to be with your pre-planning your traits. So when you first get your weapon, what you'll want to do is you'll want to look at all the traits that you have available. Those traits are essentially the old school talent trees. Mm-hmm. So when you're unlocking certain traits, it's going to need to be strategic, in the sense of you can't just go full ham sandwich and just start clicking, because you're going to want to have forethought of what's the next trait you're trying to get to in that line. So the cool thing is, when you hover over it, it shows you which line will go where, so that you can kind of have an idea. The artifact power is going to be how you unlock your traits, and artifact power drops everywhere. Bosses, quests, treasures all over Legion. It drops from random mobs. You right-click it, you learn it. The cool thing about this is you don't have to right-click them, which is where the multi-spec comes into play. So if you've already done all your artifact, you've done a good amount of artifact power and you have a bunch that you're kind of stacking, you just haven't learned them yet. When you right-click your artifact power, It'll learn on the weapon you're equipping. So if you want to save it for, let's say you've accumulated a bit and then now you've rolled a heal spec and it's time for you to start working on that artifact weapon, you can just equip that weapon once it's gained and you can use your artifact power for that. So the cool thing here is if you're using your main spec as a source of farming for your artifact power, you can save it in your bank. And since we no longer have to hold all our transmog gear, we have a new obsession to hold bank space, which will be the artifact power. And they're different icons. There's like 30 different icons. So it looks really super random. One of them is like one of the little idol heads. It's all looks just really random. And then you can keep those. You'll get a lot of those from world questing too. So world questing is going to be an integral part of gaining your artifact power. Now, by the time I was level 110, I had already had a good portion of my talents unlocked via the traits unlocked. Your traits, most of those traits are going to be passive and it's increasing stats on spells you already have. It's adding to those stats. Like specifically for the warlock, there's a lot of emulate and conflagrate attention there. So they've added percentages on how much damage those things do in those talents. So with those traits, there's I think most weapons have 3 gold traits, which it's like a gold dragon around them. Those traits are going to be your super powerful ones. Those are going to be like the big daddy long legs traits. Those are going to be the ones that you're going to want to focus on unlocking in the path of least resistance when you're unlocking your traits. And then there'll be one on use for every weapon. And that on use is pretty BA. Like the on use for almost every single weapon I was completely blown away and impressed with. So like example for Destruction Warlock, they have for the Scepter of Sargeras, it's the Dimensional Rift and it opens up 3 portals that shoot a bunch of damage. And you have 3 charges of that. So you could have 1 portal on 1 target and 1 portal on another target. Does quite a bit of damage.
Cool.
So those on uses will be, you know, specific to whatever spec that is. If it's heals, obviously it'll be in heal relation. If it's tanking, it'll be for tanking. And then basically your focus will be unlocking those traits. There's a total of 37 available. And that, in addition to using the traits to be able to unlock that, you'll also be using the relics. Now the relics are kind of a cool concept because if you've seen any documentation or any video or images, there's 3 relic slots at the top of your weapon UI. You'll only get 2 to start. You'll have to unlock the 3rd one doing order hall stuff. Now you'll find these relics that have like fell power, fire power, shadow power. It all depends on your spec. That's how you increase the item level of your weapon. You'll actually sock it into those top slots.
And a relic is kind of like a gem.
It's almost exactly like a gem. And it's going to work the same way in the effect of you've socketed that relic and you've increased your item level. It allows you to pick a trait set that goes with that you can unlock and gain like rank 4, rank 5, because most of the traits go up to rank 2 and 3. So the cool thing about that is for farming for your secondary spec, you don't have to use those. You can save it for your second weapon, which is pretty nice because you'll acquire a lot of relics. I have a ton of old ones that my item level's already surpassed because each relic will have an item level. So there'll come a point where you'll have a ton that you can't use because it'll lower your item level on your weapon. And just like a gem, once you socket it, it's gone. So you're going to want to sock it with caution. That's my only, I literally went ham and was just socketing everything. And then I realized I was socketing over higher item level stuff. I was like, I guess I shouldn't do that. But the cool thing is the smaller item level stuff you can save for your secondary spec, even though it'll have different, like some will like fell, fire, all the different little nuances of the type of relic. Some of them will be the same across all specs, so you can keep them.
I noticed though, like at lower levels, like kind of don't be afraid to throw them in there because you get, you know, the same quality that you get of gear. You get, you know, your greens, your rares, your, you know, your uncommons, your epics. And if it's just something that you don't care about, you just want to fill that slot, that's fine. I don't know. That was kind of the impression they got at a lower level. Then who cares? You're going to get a relic as a quest reward. Go ahead and throw it in there. Who cares? You know, but you know, you'll get some way better ones down the line from, you know, dropping off raid bosses.
That's 100% valid. You're not going, as long as you're going through PvE content, you're not going to be without these relics. The only thing that I would say when you're doing this is if you have those sockets filled because you can only have 2, pay attention to what it unlocks, because some of those relics, it'll only be for a certain trait. And if you sock it, it'll remove it from that trait and add it to a different one. So if you're dealing with something that's an integral part of your rotation, you're just going to want to be aware of what it's doing to your trait. So you're absolutely right in the effect of feel free, because there it's going to come aplenty. You're not going to struggle with that part. The struggle won't come until later, because they give you a lot of stuff right away so that you can get in the swing of things. Okay. But it's as you're going into it, the more artifact power you add, the more it costs. Like right now, I'm up to 6,000 artifact power per trait that I have to unlock. Whereas when you first start, it was 350. So the more you unlock on your weapon, right, the more expensive the cost is. So you're right as far as the relics go. You can feel free to sock it at whim. Just make sure you're paying attention to what it changes on your weapon. In addition to the item level, what is it bringing to that weapon to make sure that you don't accidentally sock it over something that you needed. So
I think the scaling on it a little bit is that they give you some lower level stuff and even some throwaway stuff in the beginning just to get a feeling for how it works.
Yep.
For how you're, you know, for how which path you're gonna go on your artifact traits and how relics work. But my problem was, I'd leveled up a couple of tunes to max on beta, and very quickly realized that I was trying to go down two paths at the same time, or I was splitting my points just in opposite directions, and it wasn't going to benefit me in the long run.
Yeah, and you're right. They give you a lot of stuff right away. They give you a lot of toys in your toy box so that you can kind of theory craft and just see how the process goes and how it works. So you're 100% right about that. And then your research. So your order
hold on. I have just a question. So the relics, you said they have an item level attached to them as well?
Yep. Yep. Uh-huh. And that's how you get the increased item level, because it's just like, as Rob said, it's just like gear. So you'll get, you know, one that has an increase of 5 item level points, and that'll increase the item level of your weapon.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. So they have item, and obviously the harder what you're doing to get the, I totally didn't say that in any kind of English capacity whatsoever.
But I was following you. That's totally.
The more difficult the task that you did to acquire that, the better the item level will be, just like gear. So essentially it's exactly the same.
Okay. They really are gems that just match up with some of your artifact traits.
Yep.
And they will kind of stack on top of that. And if this trait gives you 3% crit, and then you put in a relic that matches up with that, it's going to give you another 3%. You know, so it's kind of like you want to find ones that really, you know, complement your spec or
your whatever. Build for your rotation. Like one of mine is a fell relic, or it's a fire relic, and it increases my immolate by 12%, which is
that's pretty awesome.
Pretty nice, because your immolate, especially with the havoc changes, you can immolate multiple targets easily. Uh-huh. And the immolate will, there's a couple, the way that you do your rotation there, your immolate will automatically apply if you say conflagrate the same mob twice, whatever the case may be. And then I have one that increases my incinerate as well, which is one of the Destruction Warlock's main filler spells. So, and then stuff that deals with conflagrate, and conflagrate's the only way we can generate soul shards. So the traits definitely complement what your build is. So when you're doing your traits, you're going to want to be aware of what your rotation is and what your priority on your spells is. They have some stuff in there that you'll probably not use, that you'll just unlock to get to the next step, which like there's a lot of rain of fire stuff in the weapon. I don't care anything about rain of fire. They ruined that a long time ago for me. And now it's a channeled cast, which is even more annoying. We're not going to rant about that, I promise, because it's going to make me say bad words. But you're going to just want to have your personal build in mind. There's going to be a lot of guides that's going to help people, I'm sure. But you just want to be aware that this is going to be personalized to you. So you're just going to have to do what you feel is going to work with your rotation specifically.
Right, right. Okay.
And so you, Belle, have spent a ton of time on figuring this out and deciding how it works. Where are you your own best resource for deciding which path you want to take? Are you finding, you know, other theory crafting warlocks in the community to decide, hey, I want to go down this artifact trait path first and then do that? What do you think it is the best way to figure that out?
The really awful part here is you can YouTube is a good resource. There's a lot of people that are putting out their rendition of what they think it should be. But here's what I found. I found that when I try to follow somebody's guide on what I should do, I get myself stuck in that box. Mm-hmm. And I forget that there's other things that I need to attend to as far as my tune is concerned. Mm-hmm. So, example, the beginning of Warlords of Draenor, so many changes with the Warlock in PvP, I was hitting like a wet noodle. So I was watching a ton of videos and all your best people in the community that are putting this stuff out. And I realized that that was not helping me because I didn't understand. I didn't have that because I wasn't doing it theory crafting myself, then mm-hmm. hitting a target dummy and finding out what works best. I realized that I was my own worst enemy in that regard because I didn't understand what needed to be done. It was only until I did basic research of why you would want to do certain things. And then ultimately, to be perfectly honest, I just theory crafted. I put stuff here and there to see what worked and where the numbers stood at the end of the day and saw what worked best. And since mm-hmm. your power, your artifact, your relics, since all that stuff is pretty plentiful in the very beginning, definitely use YouTube as a resource. Just make sure you're checking who's putting, not everybody is good at putting stuff out there. And that's not an insult. That's just, the internet is the internet. It is what it is. Make sure you're checking your sources and make sure it's not somebody that doesn't understand your spec. It needs to be somebody that plays that spec. If you're going to do, you know, if you're going to look for somebody that does a guide, it needs to be somebody that has that understanding so they can really make sure that they're conveying what needs to be done. Because ultimately, you can screw up your artifact weapon in the sense of you'd have to redo it. You can refund your traits. It doesn't refund your relic. You can do things that will fix it. But if you're very advanced in your artifact weapon stage and you make a bad mistake because you watched a bad video, you're gonna be crying for a little while until you can.
Well, here's the thing, though. You're gonna fill the whole thing out eventually, right?
I think so. I mean, it's a lot. So
is a lot. But
so how much?
I mean, do you agree that you probably need to do some homework ahead of time? See what path you want to take and commit to that.
You need to have literally a nice little notepad next to your desk and have an idea of what traits you want to unlock in what fashion. Because that honestly is going to be your most strategy. Your most strategy is to make sure in the very beginning that you're unlocking the path of least resistance to get the most power out of your weapon. Because your most power out of your weapon is going to be the ladder traits and your gold traits. I think there's three per weapon. So that's really going to be what your focus is. And if you get so stuck in your line of thinking and not realizing that sometimes if you unlock one trait, it'll branch out to three more. Because that's really going to be what the go-to is. But yes, research. Find there's a lot of people that are doing a lot of good things. Wowhead is a really good source for a lot of stuff. It's not really going to be personalized, and people in the community do comment on things that are helpful, but I would definitely have a game plan going in of what you're looking to get out of your weapon. Sit down and decide at the end of the day, this is what I want my weapon to do for these spells and talents, and here's going to be how I get it. So a lot of planning is going to need to go into the weapon.
I saw one guide for, I can't remember which spec right now, but it basically said if you are going into this expansion with the intention on grinding, and having, you know, basically unlimited time to put in to leveling and grinding, then you should take this path on your weapon. If you're going to be playing a lot more casually and, you know, you're a casual raider, you're not going to be, you know, sort of bleeding progression, then you should take this path. And I think that to me was kind of a little bit of an indication as to, you know, like you just need to measure where you're at, what you know, be honest with yourself, what kind of gamer, what kind of, you know, time you have to contribute to this, and then just, you know, do some homework and go. Or you know what? Do it your way. Have fun. Look at it and go, man, that trait right there looks amazing. I want that trait. You know, my team is super casual. It's really not going to impact them. I'm going for it. That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, for sure. You're going to need to be realistic. Have realistic expectations in anything, but especially with the weapon. Your realistic expectations will help keep you on your goal, whether it is casual or whether it's super serious and maybe your raid lead's giving you have to have this amount done and ready by such and such time for when the raid content comes out. But definitely be realistic and have those goals for your weapon in a realistic manner so that you don't let yourself down and then get frustrated and then take to the forums about how much you hate World of Warcraft.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What did you say? The internet is the internet.
Internet is the internet.
Yes. Yeah. So do we know how much power it's going to take to fill out your artifact?
I don't know that that number. Yeah, I don't know that that number's actually been given. I know on the Q&A that they asked, and his response is a long time.
Well, the problem with, I think, even trying to figure that out is, like, it starts to increase so exponentially that each one that you buy costs more and more and more and more.
I'm up to 6,300 per trait that I unlock.
Okay, so then, like, let's talk about the research. And we're starting to get into that when.
Oh, here's something that's amazing, and the research. This is going to be your artifact knowledge, your research notes. All this is going to be one and the same. So, in your class halls, there is going to be a person, an NPC. It's different for every class hall. And this is going to be the person that you go to for this research. So what will happen in the natural leveling and world questing and things like that is you're going to be gaining, you're going to be getting research notes and doing research in your hall with resources. So this is kind of a twofold here. You have your artifact knowledge that you'll go to your hall, you'll give them resources, you'll learn, and it'll unlock more things for your, more power for your weapon. Then you have your research notes, which you'll loot. The really cool thing about these research notes is this adds to the amount of artifact knowledge that you get. So I'm not sure what the stats are, but I think it doubles your artifact knowledge that you need to be able to get the next step. So you'll increase it at a rapid rate. And this also is true for looting. You'll see that you'll loot more of the traits or of the artifact power. You'll see that you'll loot more because that's the way that it was designed. It's designed the more research you do and the more artifact knowledge that you acquire by learning essentially about your weapon, you're basically learning, but it'll increase and you'll be able to purchase traits with that knowledge and using those research notes to be able to gain that knowledge quicker. So it's actually a pretty cool interaction with your hall. And it goes in line with the order hall, you know, upgrading your order hall with research as well. A lot of stuff here is research.
It really is like another, a new iteration of garrisons. And I hate to say that because that's such a negative connotation for people, but you know, the same way that you spent garrison resources on, you know, on buildings or upgrades is kind of the same thing you're doing here. You have these resources and you're paying a guy to give you artifact knowledge. And I don't know it takes like 12 hours or 24 hours.
Yeah, it's each one has a different time set. Now, you're right. They are, you know, they're essentially garrisons. However, what they did do is Blizzard listened to the community. They took everything people hated about the garrison and took it out. Then they put everything people loved in a different concept between being able to go to your order hall and have a ton of warlocks. Never do you ever have to go into Stormwind and ask a question and then get told, learn to raid.
Why would you go to Stormwind in the first place?
I know. Well, what? I mean,
like
I'm
maybe Orgrimmar or Undercity, but Stormwind?
I'm
never.
But you don't have to do that anymore.
Oh, come on, man.
You can ask other warlocks. Listen, guys, this whole Alliance Horde thing is really breaking my heart. You
have. I don't know. I mean, get into the Jaina thing, dear Lord.
I don't, because I'm Alliance does not mean I like Jaina, just so we're clear.
I do like Jaina, though. She's making it hard. Jaina, come on.
Telling me. I don't like her at all. I've never liked her. I think she breeds war. She's a warmonger.
She's a Dreadlord.
She's a warmonger who has tiny girl syndrome. I don't know. Jaina's nuts. She's 100%. So, yeah. The research is, and that's something that's going to be interactive. It's a focus. It's something for you to work towards. Mm-hmm. You can do it or you can't. It's not anything that's going to affect your weapon specifically if you don't do it. It's only going to increase the things that you get out of it. So you don't have to do it. It's not a requirement. But if you're acquiring these resources for your order hall naturally and organically through the playing process, so it's not going to be terrible. But and then the missions that you get for your order hall, you'll get research notes. You'll get the things that you need from your missions, not just a ton of left sharks, just so that we're clear on that.
Okay. I was watching one of the Preach videos the other day, and he basically said, you know, if you're going to spend your resources on anything, spend them on the artifact research.
Yeah, for sure.
That's like the the thing to do. No matter what, that should come before anything else.
And a little a pro tip, you're going to be acquiring your resources. So you're going to acquire them from day one. Don't waste them on missions.
You have to do some in order to go through the actual class.
Very minimal. Don't log in daily and waste your resources until you're 110.
Yeah, don't do that on like a 70 gold mission or, you know. Yeah.
Be wisely and strategically, and that's actually a pro tip. Like when I say pro tips, they told me don't waste it. Save it so you can go ahead doing your research. Start doing anything search. If you've used all of your resources, you won't have a good stockpile. So use only what you need for your mission board and then save the rest for when you're 110 and you unlock the ability to research, and then you're really in a good spot to be able to just learn a lot really quickly.
That's a good call then. I did the garrison. I did the class hall missions, and some of those are amazing because some of the story you get from those are will just blow your mind. But there's a lot of other little missions that are just piddly. It'll tell you, oh, you can get 10 artifact knowledge from this mission, and I think that those are just there to
only do your missions for what's required for questing, because you will have some quests in your order hall that require you to do missions. I would only stick to those until you're 110, and then I would use all of your stuff for your research.
Okay, I'm confused again now here. Okay, so artifact knowledge, is that the same as artifact power?
Yes and no.
Okay.
Knowledge is the rate that you get artifact
power. Yes, it's the rate that you get artifact power. So the more knowledge you gain, the more the rate gets. So your initial one, when you do the first quest line for that, you'll unlock it by 50%. So you'll get 50% additional artifact power quicker, basically, at the rate
that
you
acquire. Which is also how they kind of built in the catch-up mechanism for people who get, you know, second and third artifact weapons.
So even though they're different, they're the same in that regard because it's for the same purpose.
So you get artifact knowledge, and the more knowledge you have gives you more power when you get power.
Correct. You acquire it quicker.
Okay.
So, like, you know, your very first few, you know, artifact power that you get, you'll get, like, the little items around right now that you pick them up, and they'll give you, like, 50 garrison resources.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have that, you know, and you'll get, you know, 10 or 20 or 50, you know, artifact power off of one of these items. Well, the more artifact knowledge you get by spending your class hall resources to learn the artifact knowledge, it starts to exponentially grow that. So then it increases by 50%, then 100%, and then the next thing you know, you're at like 6,000%. So whereas you were getting, you know, 10 or 20 or 50 artifact power from this item, next thing you know, you're getting 2,000 or 4,000 artifact power from these different items. Now the thing about that is that, you know, the traits and skills in your artifact tree also become way more expensive as you learn more. You know, it's a lot easier to catch up a secondary weapon if you desire to do that.
Yeah, for sure. Especially if you're a DPS and a heal, and you swap kind of intermittently with the raid as it's needed, or if you just play both.
Like you guys that are like Destro for life, like honestly, you dump every single piece of
that
power.
I know. We're going to be amazing and killing all of you that are multi-specking.
Oh, man.
Well, my main's still a multi-spec character, so.
So you say.
We'll see how far that goes this expansion.
It's a new day for you. Finally.
So is there
what your class and spec is?
Yeah. I was watching a video today, and it might even been that preach one, but it looked like there was a fourth gold trait on there.
So that is one that's like not going to be obtainable for a really long time.
Okay.
Because you have to unlock every single thing on your weapon to get it
first.
So you have to unlock 37 traits, and it's not even usable in beta.
Okay.
Yeah.
I tried. I even pleaded with somebody at Blizzard. I was like, can you just maybe give this to me for 5 minutes for me to do a video on it? If you could do. And they were like, sorry, you're burnt. And I was like, okay, cool. Thanks. Good talk.
I think the point of that trait really is to just ensure, put the nail in the coffin that you will never be done.
Valid. To let you know that even though you think there's an end game here, you're going to be with us till you die.
Because that final one is basically like the more points you put in that, it's like X percent more damage. Like it's not even on any, you know, spell or ability or anything. It's just like you do this much more damage the more. You know, you've filled out the entire tree, you've grinded this out, it's been 3 months, 6 months, a year, 2 years, whatever it is for people, and now you're like, I'm done. Nope, here's a place for you to continue dumping that power into you, and you just will get stronger and stronger.
Okay. Here's an important thing to note on the weapon. For every trait you unlock, that's basically considered your weapons level, right? So if you've got 12 traits unlocked, that's essentially your weapons level. For every trait that you unlock, you get 0.05% or 0.5% stamina. So each trait that you unlock does add a little bit back to your stamina bank, which is kind of nice. And that's for all classes.
Is that for ranks or is that just for each individual
trait? Just for each individual trait, because there's a total of 37 traits that are purchasable.
Mm-hmm.
With that. So by the time you have 37, you have 37 times 0.5% for stamina, which is nice.
Okay, cool.
It's really nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Little fun fact. Now let's talk about appearances, because that's my favorite part of this weapon.
Well, it is the most important, because everyone knows that if you don't look good while you're raiding, you do significantly less damage. It's a documented fact that your appearance matters to your damage.
Yeah, it impacts your performance for sure.
I made the raid wait for me to transmog my gloves before I got my transmog mount, and my raid leader was like, "Seriously? Well, I'm the GM. You can't really say no to me, so I'm just going to port out of here and I'll be back."
Transmog anxiety is a real thing.
Yeah, I just can't be seen in public unless I'm on point in every element of the way Belle looks. And she gets a new mog each expansion, so I've already worked on my Legion mog. She's looking pretty dapper. I went the dapper route this time. She's got a nice, like, suit.
Nice.
But, appearance is important, and I have to be really honest. I was really happy about all the appearances, which I did a breakdown for each appearance.
Mm-hmm.
For every appearance that you can unlock, I did that on the Pwncast YouTube channel. If you guys yourselves are interested in seeing those, I'm sure other people have done them too. But I did do every single spec in a nice breakdown of each visual augmentation that you could do to the weapon. Because the original weapon, that's just the jumping off point. There's going to be – there's a total of – outside of the original look of the weapon, there's three other stages of that weapon that will not just change the color but completely change the appearance of your weapon. Mm-hmm. Now, the way that this is done, your first row of stuff is going to be your colors, and that's going to be your easiest ones to unlock. You'll do that naturally as you're progressing through content. With the way that they have each different level of augmentation visually, it's something for everyone. So you'll have to raid, you'll have to dungeon in the new way that they've done the dungeons with the new keystone system. So you'll have to quest, you'll have to complete quest lines, you'll have to complete I think you unlock the whole row of colors when you've completed like every mission in the beginning stages of your order hall. Your class hall stuff.
Okay.
So the cool thing about that is as you decide if you want those appearances. If you don't want to raid, because I think you have to get the Legion Raider, Glory of the Legion Raider achievement for one of the augmentations, which completely change your weapon. You don't have to. You can just choose to not do it. Or you can, in your UI for your weapon, you can hover over each color and look and decide what content you want to do. You don't have to do the previous.
It tells tier. You what you need then, huh?
And it tells you everything that you need when you hover over it. Now, the fourth, the top three are all PvE related in nature. World questing, class hall stuff, dungeons, raid, that whole thing. And then your fourth row, which in my opinion, every single PvP weapon was amazing and on point with the exception of, I think the Ret Pally I didn't like, but
no one plays PvP Ret version, Pally anyway.
I know their mobility. My husband cries about it every day. He's such a crybaby. My morbidity, poop you. I can't do anything. I'm not mature, guys. At all. Don't tell him I said that.
I'm sure he knows by now.
The fourth tier of every weapon will be the PvP version. Now, one of the things that I liked is that allows the distinguishing factor, which when PvPers play, part of what we like is we like to be different when we're standing in, you know, in a zone. We want people to look at us and say, hey, look at me. I have something you don't because I PvP. most PvPers won't admit that. I like to keep it real. I do like having PvP gear, and I do like being set apart from PvEers because I think it's important that people know that I'll kill you with my Chaos Bolt. So for the PvP stuff, you'll have to do things like Prestige. You'll have to do some PvP, acquire some PvP achievements and things like that to be able to unlock those weapons. But gosh, is it worth it? Because the PvP versions, even if you're not a PvPer, you might even prefer those. Now, I like all the weapons, and I obviously I love the destruction weapon. I mean, it's the Scepter of Sargeras. However, my absolute favorite weapon of all the weapons is the Brewmaster's weapon. And the reason being is because it literally is the epitome of a Brewmaster monk. Mm-hmm. Like, it is beautiful. I'm going to be a tank, which is going to be awful for anybody in a run with me, just because I want to have that. The Brewmaster weapon's my favorite of all the weapons.
Well, the way they redesigned the way that the Brewmaster holds the staff now, too, how they, like, put it over their shoulder and stuff, is one of the coolest things.
It's so legit. Like, just for... I loved pandas, and I loved the idea of Pandaland. Obviously, that's not its official name, but I loved all that. Pandaria was like a great concept. So, yeah, I love the Brewmaster. So if you are a monk, I recommend you pick up the Brewmaster spec and learn to tank just for the weapon because you won't be disappointed. It's glorious.
I won't rant about Brewmaster tanking right now because it's...
Don't make me rant about tanking in PvP because the Brewmaster tanks in PvP one-hit people. So we're not going to... Yeah, we're not going to go... Their cake smash is severely in need of something.
Oh, here's the stupid thing, though. Like, they start rebalancing everything right now, and then it's going to be all janky, you know, at 105 and 110. And it's just like that constant, you know, they kind of have to just... let things lie where they are at right now and just go, yep, that's not what it's supposed to be, and it'll be over soon. So.
For sure, and the fact that they've decided to finally separate PvP and PvE as far as the stat templates are concerned, they're easily activated on an instant. So whenever they make a huge nerf or change in PvP, it doesn't affect PvE. So they've done a really, really good job with those templates to make it where they can easily tune and balance for PvP and it not affect any of the PvE gears, which I appreciate that they took the time to do that, because it was something we struggled with in Warlords of Draenor heavily. When they would make a change to help the PvPers, the PvEers would kind of get screwed. So the fact that they've separated is good.
Would you say this is probably the biggest step forward in terms of PvP and design that's happened since?
Since
the game came out.
So many people I've seen the forums and they're like, oh, wow, the Legion's going to kill PvP and blah, 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 and everything is awful and we're all going to die. So the reality is, as much as there's things that I dislike, and obviously I'm not a pro, right? So I don't have that pro perspective that you know, some of these pro guys that literally do this for a living might have. But for me personally, I feel like this is the most they've ever put into PvP, in my opinion. I feel like they've really considered a lot of things here And although it's a little rough right now because it's not balanced, but they're they went on the record, they're actively tuning right now. Mm-hmm. I feel like this is the most they've ever put into PvP because they want arenas to be successful. Why? Because they want to be a part of esports where World of Warcraft's concerned. So they're not going to kill. People keep saying it's going to be the killer. I can't see them ever allowing PvP to die. Yeah.
It's their bread and butter. Talent trees and then, you know, just everything is like very. You could tell a lot of time and energy was put into it. They care about it.
That's their money, too. PvP is excitement, right? Rating is good. Questing is good. All those things are good. But PvP, it reaches a certain player base, and that player base is very hyped and excited and kind of all in their emotions. So I think they've done a phenomenal job, personally. I'm so excited for the rest of the world to see Legion in all its glory, the maps, everything. I cried when I seen Suramar the first time, literally. Not even joking. I know that sounds really, really super lame, but I did cry because they did a beautiful job. They should all just get raises.
This expansion, I feel like, you know, a lot of people are, you know, the whole joke about, you know, the Illidan in the glass case, you know, it says like break glass in case of emergency. That's funny and everything, but what is going on? The Game of Thrones treatment that this is getting, and a lot of the emotional strings that are being pulled. Like, you don't just kill off a character and all of a sudden, you know, people are invested. There is like this whole different level of emotional involvement and the way that these are done, you know, I don't know about Varian, though. That was a little cheese for me. But like, there's a lot of notes that are being hit that are just so good that the things are being done with just this whole level of being thought out. But it's just amazing, and I just think that, you know, I don't really care if people are naysaying it. I think that this expansion is exactly what this game needs right now.
Mm-hmm. I agree. One, I could not agree more. I think they are speaking to a very specific set of WoW players, and I think there's a lot of nods here in general. And they're yes, it sucks when NPCs we love die, but that's mm-hmm. how you make room for the new generation. We won't love the new generation if the old generation's still here. The only mm-hmm. way to do that is to move forward and to remove them so that we can make room to love a new generation. We can't be talking about the same King of Horde and Warchief or, you know, reverse that because it's King of Alliance and Warchief of Horde. We can't still love these same guys 20 years down the line. We have to make room for the, and what better way to do that than in grand Blizzard fashion with a bunch of death, because that's how we roll. They don't just retire, guys. These higher ups here, your war chiefs just don't retire and step down besides Thrall. Like, they have to go out in a blaze of glory. Or yep. to trash, essentially.
Or for no real reason outside of an airship. Yeah.
Right. I mean, there was real no precedence for that happening. But, I mean, I'm not here to judge on how a person needs his end.
Tell my son I love him. You tell him, man. I know.
So unnecessary, because you died anyway. You didn't even make me say things.
Too much. Yeah.
Good times.
Okay, so I feel like I do have a little bit of an advantage just from spending time on the beta. Daryl, was there anything that you feel like, you know, coming in from the outside that you're just like, just not really clear?
No, it was the biggest thing. What sparked this whole thing was in our Discord. Allie started talking about artifact knowledge. I'm like, what the hell is that? I've never even heard of that. So that comment right there that she made sparked this whole, let's do a show on this, because I don't know anything about artifacts, apparently. I think I'll be able to manage now, come Legion. So I don't think I have any other questions, none that I can think of offhand anyway.
I think like the main thing to keep in mind is, like, no matter what happens, no matter how it plays out, like you can recover. Like, yeah. Even if you, oh my God, I picked the wrong thing, this is so terrible, I screwed this up, what have I done? You can always recover. It will come at a cost. So the effort that you put in ahead of time and the research that you put in will absolutely pay off for you. But, you know, if you are just super casual and don't really care and are just wanting to have fun, like, then don't worry about it. I mean, it's good to know what you're kind of getting yourself into, but like, it's nothing will be a repair.
You're not going to break the game. Mm-hmm. We will rebuild.
We will. No, all I think right. the we had made a few comments earlier, though. Like, it's super reminiscent to me of the old talent system.
Yeah, it is.
Except for one key difference is with the old talent system, like, you couldn't fill out the whole thing. You really had to pick intentionally what you wanted, and that was all that you got. And, you know, you could undo it and go back and redo it. And the key difference is that you will at some point fill out the whole thing if you put in the effort. Now, the rate in which you are filling it out, and the first tier of rating, you know, if you come to find out that this trait is just going to be way better for your spec, then you want to just go down that path, you know. And when you see the artifact weapons, you'll see they look like constellations, the way that that all the talents are laid out. And they're, you know, like the little just, you know, the lines that are connecting all the stars and dots and traits. And, you know, and you just go, oh, wow, well, this, you know, crit is way more important to me, you know, than a reduced cooldown on this thing that I never use. So I'm going to go that way. That makes more sense to me.
For sure.
That was it. I feel good about that statement.
All right. So is that it? Are we good? Do you have any last points to make about artifacts, Belle?
No, none at all. I am available for a small fee of a taco. If anybody has any other questions or you guys have questions, I've been living in beta since alpha specifically to know all the things on a deep level. And I know more about classes and specs I don't ever intend to play. but I know how to play them because I had to learn.
So I live in Austin, Texas. We are the taco capital.
I know. I used to work for a company out of El Paso, and I've never had better tacos in my life. It's a sad time that I don't work for that company anymore. Sad every day.
I have a feeling this next line is mine.
What? You're mumbling.
Is this next line mine, I guess, huh?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Did you just mumble an obscenity at me because of the tacos? Or
no. Would never do that.
Tacos are life.
I agree. And on that note, if you'd like to send us an email, we can be reached at the show at thetrainingdummies.com. If you have anything else to add to this topic or have questions about future topics, please feel free to leave us a voicemail or join our Discord server over at thetrainingdummies.com.
It seems fate has brought us together.
You have my gratitude.
We make a great team.
I'm sure glad you're around.
Well, if it ain't my favorite person.
You have your uses, don't you?
You have quite a talent there.
Together, our victory is assured.
Good enough.
Rob, what you got for shoutouts tonight?
Belle, thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me. This means we're official, right? Is that what happens once we cross show? We're official.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Then we have to at BlizzCon, we have to do all the party down thing and all that stuff.
DitchCon, guys, if you're coming in Wednesday night, DitchCon.
We will be there.
Yeah, we will be.
Pretty awesome.
All right.
Daryl, thank you, Daryl. It's been a month and a half.
It has been.
After
it's been a long time.
After the debacle we had with Illidan, I wasn't sure that we would be able to recover
from that. Yes.
Yeah. And the guild for even still now going in and keeping it together and raiding and putting up with me trying to figure out how Demon Hunter tanking is going to work, because I know it certainly was not designed for this content and it's a little rough. So thank you guys for getting in and doing that, and Pink for being lazy and wiping us and taking responsibility for that. That means a lot to me. Daryl, how about you?
All right. Well, since it has been a month and a half, what occurred after our last recording was Team Crab Deck. So I need to specifically thank, there was Gondel, Robin, Kranos, Tash, Romance Pie. Oh my god, am I forgetting anyone? No. Okay. So those five guys came and helped me build my deck, and it was greatly appreciated. I'd still be working. Well, I am still kind of working on it because now I'm putting in flower beds and all that nonsense. But anyway, I'd still be working on the main part of the deck if they hadn't come, you know, and helped me this summer. So I'm really looking forward to Team Crab Deck 2017, where rather than build my deck, everyone just sits on my deck.
Mm-hmm. And plays Hearthstone, just sitting out there with your new internet.
I don't know about Hearthstone, but anyway, lots of beers anyway. So I want to thank all you guys for that. That was fantastic. Belle, I want to thank you for coming on the show this evening and making me feel less stupid about artifacts. Because, I really didn't know as much as I thought I did about them. I didn't know anything about them. I thought I had a pretty good idea, but then the more people started talking about it, I really had no clue. So, yes, thanks again, and it was very much appreciated.
For sure. I was glad. I had a blast, guys.
And do you have any shout-outs for us?
I want to shout out my boys over at Pwncast. They are the less active publicly, right? They're kind of the... I don't want to say they're in the closet necessarily, but I think me and Bloke are the most ones. But shout-out to them, and shout-out to people that listen to podcasts. For all the listeners that are keeping the podcast stream alive, it's an important thing, and we're a dying art, and I love that people still love them.
People are going to start reading newspapers again.
I know. It's going to be a weird time reversal thing. But I love it. Yeah. And I love that people that they take the time. And shout out to your guys' listeners. It's exciting to entertain somebody besides our crew.
Awesome. Well, before we wrap this up, Belle, where can people reach you if they have any more questions about this topic or anything else, or aren't really sure what you guys are doing over there at Pwncast?
I've learned how to Twitter. It's been a year of me teaching myself how to tweet and tweet effectively and know how to push the button, because tweeting was very scary to me. It just kind of seemed to go out to the void. So I had to learn how to do that. But Belle of Pwncast, you can find me on Twitter. I do have a Facebook for Belle, but I don't really Facebook that often. So Twitter, and then the Pwncast has their own Twitter as well, but my Twitter will probably be the best if they have questions. Anything on any content related or anything outside of what you guys cover they need help with. So at Bella Pwncast, follow. I do follow back unless you're a bot account. And if you're a bot account, I just DM you obscenities and then block you. Oh. It's rude.
I like it.
All right. That wraps up episode 136 of The Training Dummies. You can find this and past episodes of the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and thetrainingdummies.com. And remember, we're all just jackasses with mics. So until next time.
It's advice you can trust.
Woo!
From people you shouldn't.